Glory be to God. Father, we worship you and bless you and magnify you. We praise you for the promise of his coming. We praise you that your word is faithful and it is true and it cannot lie. Lord, we thank you that you promised, Jesus, you promised through prophecy that before the end that this gospel would be preached unto all nations, and then the end would come. The gospel that you preached, the gospel that you preached had power. The gospel that you preached had righteousness. Lord, I know that there will be millions that will reject it, and there will be millions in the church that will reject it. But I know that, Lord, that there is a group that are listening, that are hearing. I know that there are sons and daughters of yours that, Lord God, are crying out within their hearts, Abba, Father. Do this work. Do this work. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you that all things are possible through Jesus our Lord. We thank you for this outpouring. We thank you for the outpouring in places of people where people live that are tied to this ministry, that are married to this message. Lord, show us. Reveal to us like never before the path in front of us. Jesus, you've gone before us. You've provided everything necessary. Father, we worship you. We worship you. This is within our grasp. This is within our reach. If it could only be attained by people that were perfect, having no flaws whatsoever, that could never be in a process of change, but all just absolutely spiritual, mature, perfect giants from the beginning, it would not be attainable. Nor if they had to spend their whole life behind closed doors praying, having no way to work, no way to live. Lord, it would be an injustice. If revival was that hard, it would be an injustice. But Lord, you've given it to the common. You've given it to those, Lord, who have to live and work and sweat. You've given revival and purpose and an outpouring and the fire of God. You've given it to those, Lord God, who have to live a simple life and go forward. It will not be attained by our works, but Lord, it will be obtained by our faith. By our faith in your word. Father, give us what you've already given us. Help us to see it like never before. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Tonight we're going to, I'm going to share just a little bit in scripture, and then I won't keep any longer than usual, but I want to go through this, and then I want the boys to come back, or anybody, and the rest of the ladies can come if they'd like, but I want us to just worship the rest of the service and pray. This message is probably just a teaser, a forecast of what is coming in more in-depth series on prayer. And I know that's a common It's a common message or has been around here for many years, but I can tell you presently, the Lord is on me. He's on my private time. He's on my life with a consciousness of consistent prayer, relentless prayer, staying in the presence of the Lord. And that's not just the prayer closet. Okay, it's beyond that. It's just a season that I believe that He's wanting to reinforce in my life and all of our lives. And I pray that as we're going to look at just one portion of Scripture, maybe two, but one parable of Christ, and we've read it before. But the whole essence of this is the empowerment of what we are and what we've become, because the consciousness for me to begin to preach to you and encourage you to stay consistent in your prayer life, if it begins to be immediately persuaded by the mind, or I've got to gear up for this, or I've got to get myself back in order, you'll be missing the whole message. Because the grace of God that is on us and the strength of God that is on us comes through the Spirit person to the level that all you have to do is submit to this if you are of this persuasion, if your desire is for revival. And I believe that I'm among those and those that are listening for it, listening to this service tonight. Like I said, this message usually comes when a lot of times when we start talking about staying consistent in prayer, it usually comes with a consciousness of buckle up, gear up, strengthen up, I've got to straighten up. And that's not what we're trying to present. The strength of this is often lost. It gets lost when your mind tries to get involved. When your mind immediately starts saying, I hear what he's saying, we're going to get another encouragement, and we're probably going to get some more encouragement messages over the next several weeks about prayer. But I'm wanting us to dip down into a place very similar to the messages that we're hearing on Sunday nights about the sermon from the Sermon on the Mount and the reality of what we've already become. I can just forecast to you and tell you that over the next few weeks, you're going to hear some messages concerning prayer, praying in tongues, in regards to relevant to, it'd be a misnomer, it would be an improper way to say it, but I'm trying to figure out how to say it. It'd be improper to say what new things the Lord has shown us in relevance to who we are, as in righteousness, and remaining in that, and saying no to the flesh. It's not new. It is everything that it's the foundation of everything that we've known. And new revelation is not it's not changing anything that we've not already known, but it's just building line on line. It's just building. And prayer is a very important part of the power of our new nature. We're going to see some things out of the Word of God that I think you're going to enjoy, or just going to say, yeah, I know that, but man, we've got to stay there. I've never praying in tongues is so important for me right now. And I'm preaching to the choir. Praying with my understanding is so important to me right now. A lot of the body of Christ, they don't know how to pray they've learned how to pray in tongues. They've never learned how to pray biblical prayers. There's something on me. There's something on my private prayer time when I go in. And it's going to reach out, and I pray, encourage all of you to go to the next place. Every great move of God, if you study church history, I don't know how many of you ever read on church history, every great move of God has been brought about by consistent or persistent prayer. the Azusa Street meetings that birthed the Pentecostal movement in America. It was prefaced by a couple of years, maybe, of just consistent prayer. The different revivals that we've talked about through the years, the Hebron revival, different ones. They were birthed through people just getting a burden to pray and staying in prayer. But they were movements. But I can tell you this, we're not after a movement. We're not after a movement. I don't care if I spend the rest of my life, and I appreciate you guys sticking with me. but I'll tell you what, it's not to your detriment. The life that we're all living, no matter what we go through, it's got more joy in it than anything that comes against us can take it away. I would rather live this life believing for His outpouring and doing the things that consistently challenge my flesh to die. If I come to the end of this life, I'm 95, 100 years old, and we're still believing, I'm telling you, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. But I do believe that in my lifetime and in our lifetime, we're going to see something that is so powerful that the saturation of it will envelop wherever we're at. And this auditorium and maybe bigger auditoriums, but wherever that saturation is it's for the harvest, but it encapsulates or brings into effect everything. Wherever Jesus is at, things happen. Marriages are restored without even counseling. And I'm not against helping somebody. I'm totally not against that. I can more than able to spare a few hours to help somebody. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost comes on people and wipes a clean slate, they can't even remember what they were worried about. They can't even remember what they... I remember when I first walked into peace, and Pastor Dave was talking about peace and about how that worship and praying in tongues will bring you into peace. And I had just, you've heard my testimony, Miss Barbara invited us out to Tulsa. I was going through something horrendous. That's just after when I, you know, remember Sunday I testified about our financial collapse, and I was going through all that. You know, when you're really distraught over a lot of things in life, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost, but when you're not actively doing it, you can be distraught and you can have like, you know, people that need, a lot of times that are really out of peace, they'll have pages of like, well, this hurts and that hurts and that. And I'm not talking about backaches and my belt's too tight and all that stuff. I'm just talking about this is in my life and this worries me and this fear and I can't get this out of my mind and I can't. But I can tell you this. This is part of the revival message. His presence just wipes everything clear. I remember coming through that and being in His presence and spending enough time that once I began to really pray in tongues a lot and allow the saturation of His presence to come on me, I couldn't even remember what it was that I was worried about. And I realized, don't try to go back and remember it. I thought I was going crazy at times, and then when it was like a clean slate. I don't even know how it happened, and I don't know how long it took. Maybe it was weeks, but it's like a clean slate. It was just like the Holy Ghost. It's amazing how the Holy Ghost can go into your mind and just wipe everything out. And then when you think of something, it's like, you know how you have a dream, and the dream, you can remember, you know, especially maybe a couple days later, you can remember the dream, but it doesn't have any emotional effect on you. You can dream like, yeah, we went through that, or yeah, my life or my marriage or my this, we went through that, but it's like, did that happen to somebody else? Because it doesn't feel like it happened to me. And that's what prayer in His presence will do to your life. It can just heal everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm not seeking a movement because I don't like to think that we're going to be a flash in the pan. I want this thing to last forever. That's really Joel's chapter 2. The end time revival, according to Joel, it's the end time, it's the end game. It just lasts right up until his coming. And that's the one that we want to be a part of. Maybe that's why it's taken so long, is because the depth of what we needed has just been going deeper and deeper in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And we've seen miracles, haven't we? Amen. It's not built, this what he's wanting us to live in is not built on just the prayer closet. I praise God for the prayer closet. I have one. I do spend a good number of time. I don't want to get too specific in prayer on a daily basis, but then I'm going on vacation at sometimes. But always, but even on vacation, I'll get up at 5 o'clock or whatever, or six. Six is kind of a sleep in for me. But I like early anyway. But I'm telling you, it's not just, that's not my prayer closet anymore. It's over at the house because we don't have any kids, so I can pray, you know, whatever. But I can pray, but for all of us, what he's wanting to create is not just the time that we've preached for years of the closet, but to live it outside of the closet. That's the greater part. That's the Smith Wigglesworth, where he said, how did he say it? I never pray, he said, I never pray more than 15 minutes at the time. But he said, I never go more than 15 minutes without praying. So what does that mean? It means the man was in a constant. And for us that pray in tongues, and he did too, but for us to pray in tongues, you have to get in a habit. It's a thing that you have to develop as a habit, but you'll get in such a habit that you don't even know that you're doing it. And so the movement, it's not a movement, but the course that we're on has to go past the prayer closet. It has to be whatever we're doing, vacationing, working, whatever we're doing. So I want us to look at a parable. And as I said, I want to give us a little time to just go back into worship a little bit. Let's go to Luke 18, verse 1. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to speak here a parable. And this parable is real easy to know what it's talking about. This is the prayer parable. Luke 18, 1, as I said, this is not hard to know what he's talking about. This is tells you right to start with. Verse 1 says this, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. So what would you think this parable is about? Prayer. Okay, that's pretty easy. There's no doubt that this parable is about prayer. And the first thing, one of the things he says here is always to pray. The word always here, I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I'm just going to tell you that means ever, when, at all times, always, ever. So it just means to always stay in prayer. So Jesus says he's going to tell us a parable, and the parable is about prayer, and it's about always staying in prayer. Okay? So we understand that. It's about persistent, continual, relentless prayer. And so we're going to read down through here. But he said, to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now there's two ways to look at that when he says always to pray and not to faint, that we don't ever stop praying. And then he says praying, not stopping prayer, But prayer also will keep you from fainting. And we're not talking about physically passing out. He's talking about giving up. Don't ever stop praying. But if you don't ever stop praying, you won't faint. You won't give up. So prayer was very important. We see that prayer was absolute important to Jesus when he spent his last 3 hours prior to going to the cross. Well, it wasn't the last 3 hours, but the hours of decision. Here's a man that the greatest merismos, the word merismos means dividing. Here's a man sinless, and yet when he is faced with the battle of flesh versus spirit, he doesn't just rely on the new nature alone. He uses the new nature as a launching pad to go into the Father and reconcile all that he was through prayer to stand against the flesh. And praying will cause you not to faint. Praying is that strength. The word faint means to be weak. It means to be bad, weak, for example, by implication, to fail in heart, to faint, to be weary. Now, I will say this. This will give you a little slant on tonight's message. Maybe it's a modern-day slant. What it is, of course. We are God's avengers. We are God's avengers in the earth. We're avengers through prayer. And you're not going to stop hearing because it's the foundation. You're not going to stop hearing the messages around here on the power of the new nature because that's the beginning part and that's the foundation. But then also what you're going to continue to hear, I'm just telling you what you're going to hear from this pulpit, whether it's me or whether it's Homer or any of you that are asked at any time to preach or teach, the volume of who we are in Christ, and then everything that the Holy Spirit has come to back up, because he's come, Dave used to say it like this, the Holy Spirit brings the new nature to a forward position. When you get edified and you begin to build yourself up, he brings that new nature to a forward position. Hallelujah. Now, I've said recently, and I won't back up from it, you can resist sin even if you're not praying. But I can tell you one thing. If you got half a sense at all, you got to know this. Somebody that is praying, that is fortifying their spirit, stands in a posture according to the edification of the Spirit, in a far better posture to resist than somebody that just hasn't prayed in a long time. But again, nevertheless, you can still resist. But my God, why would you leave your life to just the new nature alone when you have the Holy Spirit that will come and back up everything that you've been created? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Don't ever stop praying. We are God's avengers in the earth. In this parable, the word avenger is repeated 4 times. The word avenge here means to vindicate, retaliate, or to punish. The real you, I'll just say this and then we'll start reading some more. The real you in Christ, which is your spirit, that's your spirit person, that's the real you, wants to avenge its adversaries. Okay? Now Luke 18:1 again. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he said this, so he's going to give this illustration to exemplify what he just said. I want you to you need to always pray, stay in an attitude of prayer. And if you do, It will fortify you against giving up, fainting. And here's what he spoke to exemplify or give illustration to staying in prayer and the results of it. Verse 2, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Does everybody see that? See this judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. Verse 3, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. Now I want you to notice here that the widow, that's important to notice here, just for illustration purposes and catching the essence of this parable, I want you to notice that the widow and the unjust judge were in the same city. Do you see that? They were in the same city. They were in the same proximity with each other, and yet they were totally different. Okay? I might be able to say it this way, and you could get it even a better understanding. They were living in the same body. They were living in the same body. Okay? The widow here, the word widow, well, I know what a widow is. Well, yes, I'm sure you do. But to break it down in the Greek a little bit more, it comes through the idea of deficiency. That's the first meaning. It comes from that base. A widow as one lacking a husband, literally or figuratively. But the first was a deficiency, an idea of a deficiency or meaning a weakness, seeming, I would say. The voice of the spirit man against the flesh. I'll just make this statement, then I'll talk about it. The voice of the spirit man against the flesh in prayer times can seem as deficient as a widow lacking a husband against a stubborn judge, but we are married to Christ, and greater is He, the Spirit of Christ in us, than the world or the flesh. Hallelujah. So it doesn't look like in prayer sometimes. I'll just put the flesh as a mountain right now, standing against. Because I know this. I know this is not the all of the equation. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it's all the puzzle of why we haven't had a full-blown revival as yet. But it also has to have something to do with the flesh. Okay, well, I know it's not God. I know that even in the best of us, this is why you're hearing, this is why the Holy Spirit has taken all the foundation that we have and not changed it, but brought it to a light like we're never seeing it before on who we have become in Christ and the strength that we have to say no to the flesh and to live after the Spirit. It's not only that we are warning against the fallacies out there, but the Lord is taking us into revival. And for us to go into revival, He has to remove everything that could possibly be blocking it. And so we see through this illustration, through Jesus saying, prayer will keep you from fainting, but you've got to understand this. And He goes into, there was this widow in a city, verse 3, she came unto Him saying, avenge me of my enemies. And as I said, notice that the widow and the judge were in the same city. Verse 4 says, and He would not for a while, but afterwards He said within Himself. Now look at this. We know this wasn't God. For He says, I fear not God, though I fear not God, nor regard man. And I'll just say this before we go on any further. The flesh does not regard the commandments of God. And you know what? You've heard Gary say this recently, and it bears repeating. The flesh, I mean your body, left apart. Now, 1 Corinthians or 1 Thessalonians 23 says that, well, I have it here, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. You can preserve your body blameless by making it follow the dictates of the Spirit. But left to itself, you just leave that puppy to itself, Just leave it to itself. Don't try to restrain it. Your flesh, body, your body will specifically say your body just thinks adultery's fine, that fornication's fine. Just let your body go. It'll do any of those things, and it'll enjoy it, and it'll want more, okay? So the only way that the body is brought under is it has to be brought under by the Spirit, and it has to also be brought under by a consistency of living out of who you are. In other words, how many times you've always got that answer of no inside your born-again spirit? It's always there. Prayer did not create it, but you always have to stand in that place where you're always willing to say no to the flesh and yes to God. But I want us to look at something here far beyond just the battle of the flesh, sin, bad habits, things that we, you know, idiosyncrasies that we know we need to get rid of, that's a little less than Christ, that's not even blatant sin, nothing that will send you to hell. Let's switch our thoughts to avenging where we really need to go to, avenging all of the injustices that are out there that need to be avenged. See, Linda Smith is something that the Linda Smiths, I speak respectfully, that if Christy heard this, it'll be fine. Those are the things that are not yet at work fully in the church that we cannot, those of us who want to go further, we cannot put up with. In other words, we can't live with. We can't live. But here the word says that this unjust judge, he doesn't regard God, his commandments, nor does he love mankind. This unjust judge, the flesh doesn't care how many people starve to death or how many of your closest friends die of diseases. It really doesn't matter to the flesh. You live after the flesh, you're not only going to die. If you live after the flesh, you're not only going to die spiritually. I mean, if you really go after the full appetites of the flesh. But if you just live as a Christian that's not giving themselves over to the appetites of the Spirit, it's quite fine with you, not fine, but it won't wake your senses up to where that it's just not, you can't live with your best life now. See, I can't lie on the beach and look at the waves and or go on vacation. I can do all that. I can vacation with my kids in Disney World, enjoy it, but there's still something inside of me, because there's still something inside of me that says, I can't live. When I go back home, when I live my life on a daily basis, I've got to go into that place. Somebody said tonight when they saw me, they weren't being sarcastic. They were just saying some report that they got. They said, Pastor, we got to go. You got to go, or we got to go to the next place, because basically my life depends on it. See, that's not, some people say, I can't live with that. That's too much. No, listen. The affirmation of who we are is in His presence. The more you go in, the more you feel His affirmation, and it's not a guilt trip, but you know that you must go into the place where you say to the flesh, avenge me, my enemy, and really, the flesh, you are the enemy. But I'm talking about, well, I'm getting ahead of my notes here, but how many of you know what I'm talking about? The spirit man wants to avenge every injustice laid at its door. I remember Gary talking about, it was on a different subject. He was talking about that the Lord told him years ago, I'm not going to hold you accountable for every one out there that's in need financially, but I will hold you accountable for any Lazarus that I put at your door. your doorstep. In other words, if I speak to your heart and I say, go give them $20 or $100, and you just, no, you're gonna be held accountable for that. But you're not held accountable for the world. And see, the spirit man wants to avenge every injustice laid at its door. Those of us that are on this walk into revival. The spirit man desires to avenge every injustice that has been that it has been empowered to stop. I know according to this, the word that I'm holding up, I have been empowered. I've not only been given authority, but I've been given dunamis power. So what is it that's standing in my way? A big part of it is the part of me that yet has to die. Now I'm not bragging, it's just, and I better be, I'm not into anything that could closely, relately send me to hell. That's not, I'm talking about, but there's, whether it is faith to believe, I don't know, Gary said this in one of his messages. He said that the Lord in a vision while he was preaching at the prayer center walked in, put his hand on the word, I think it was, and said, I want to be believed. Do you understand? I want to be believed. At this point in time, maybe the biggest part of me that needs to die is to take this word so literally that I begin to see the fruit of it. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised on a continual basis. I can't stop every war. I can't stop every famine. I can't stop every murder. I can't even stop, listen, I can't stop friends that oppose themselves. That's the other side of the coin. I can pray for them. I know from time to time there's people that I don't know why. I really don't know why. I've tried to figure it out, but I don't know why. They take exception with what I say here. They're opposed to it. They, you know, it's like Homer said, and he didn't even tell me afterwards, and I didn't ask him. Somebody said, Pastor Bronk's wrong. He's wrong. I didn't ask him. He didn't offer. I didn't ask. But I can tell you this, when they oppose themselves, they also oppose, when they oppose, not me, but when they oppose the truth, they also oppose themselves in healing as well. Do you understand that? And I'm not, and it's not that they oppose, it's not that God says, well, I'm going to punish you because you don't believe the truth. That's not the God that we serve. And it's not that he's just unwilling because they won't. It's just it's a 1 John principle. The word says, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence. If a man is hearing this word preached from this pulpit and he says, I don't agree with that. No, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Then he lifts up his hands and says, Lord, heal me. His heart has to be condemning itself. And that he's in opposition to himself. Oh, what can you do about that, Pastor? Well, I can still pray for him. My direct power to him to heal him or raise him up or her up doesn't work. But listen, that's not the case for 99% of the people that I know. They just need healing in their body. And they need somebody to go there. How about all of us go in there together? Praise God. Anything that the flesh has to do with that holds me up is my adversary. Let me say this. Every injustice that comes on the body of Christ that I have been empowered to stop, that's my adversary, not the person. Every friend of mine that has an infirmity that has not yet been healed, that's my adversary. Avenge me, my adversary. Well, he doesn't, that unjust judge, he doesn't have anything to give, like I'm going to give you power. The power is in the latter part of the parable where God steps in and says, this isn't a comparison, it's a contrast. You know, there's comparisons and contrast. They're two different things. One says these two are alike. Contrast says these two are far different. The latter half of this is the exempt the example of this has been a contrast. The flesh is like this. It holds and abates you up. It holds you up. But God the Father has already predestinated through Jesus Christ that you get all of this. And the flesh doesn't have anything to give other than just get out of the way. That's what it has to give. It has to give up. And this person is going to God on a continual basis. But what they're doing is, as they're going in, they're debilitating whatever the flesh wants to stand up with an argument and say, have you ever seen that before? See, I've been praying recently, God, do something to my soul. Do something to my soul. Out of my spirit, do something to my soul, because my soul wants to say, have I ever seen those kinds of miracles? I want my soul to live in an incubation by the Spirit. Some kind of, I want my soul to become, before I see it. Homer and I were talking today. Yeah, it would have been great to have been one of the apostles and seen that. But Homer brought it up, and I said, yeah, that's exactly right. We have no excuse, because we have His Word and we have His Spirit. And by His Word and by the Holy Ghost, that process of changing our minds to see the blind see and the lame walk. I'm not trying to personalize it or embarrass one of my best friends, Homer, because he never ever asks, and he doesn't even want any sympathy. But I can tell you this, as long as I'm breathing, I can't live my best life now when one of my best friends who's walking with God is making his stand. I've got to go to that place continually, not on guilt. There's no guilt in me. There's just an affirmation of who I am. And he's just one example of many examples out there. I'm telling you, we have to go to a place where our mind is pickled and we see it before it ever happens, so strong that what we see with our spiritual mind invades our physical mind, and we see those things come to pass. Hallelujah. We're avengers. Hallelujah. It's not a false responsibility. Continue to read this. This is true intercession. It's free from guilt by an affirmation of the Father. The widow wanted to be avenged of her adversary, and the judge was, of course, the flesh trying to stop. Luke 18:5 says, and yet because this widow troubleth me, that's what the unjust judge says, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. Our consistent place doesn't weary God. Fasting, prayer, staying in the Word convinces the flesh, you might as well shut up, give up, step aside, stop giving me those arguments like, have you ever seen the blind see? Have you ever seen this? Have you ever seen that? Just shut up, because my mind is dwelling someplace else. Oh yeah, I see it. I see it all the time. I see it every day in prayer. I see not only my friends, but all of us walking in together. Only God, through His power in us, can avenge the injustices that Jesus came to set in order. Verse 6 says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and God shall avenge His own elect, which cry unto Him day and night, or cry day and night unto Him, through though He bear long with them. Doesn't say that we have to bear long with God. He's bearing long with us while we're in the dying process. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Jesus said that consistent prayer was faith. What he said, is He going to find this kind of faith on the earth? What was He talking about? Consistent prayer, staying in prayer. I want to say this, and then I want us to just worship for 20, 30 minutes. For the rest of you, this will be the end of us, the teaching for tonight. But I invite you for the next 30 minutes to sit and worship. or 25, or how I've got a few more minutes. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Turn there with me. One of the things that I have to say to all of us is that falling in love with your prayer closet is essential. The flesh won't ever fall in love with it, but the spirit man will fall in love with it. The spirit person, because you know when you fall in love with it is because you begin to crave it. Like if you are busy and it's justifiable busy, you know you're super busy and you know that it's fine with the Lord, you got to go do this, or you're going on vacation and you know the Lord wants you to, that's fine. But when you're craving it, it's like, I can't wait till I get back. Or I can't wait till I get a few, you know, whatever time. Listen, some of you are working like crazy. I understand that. I remember what the Lord said in the prayer that I remembered I prayed. And I wasn't intending on praying that prayer. But revival cannot, listen, if revival is, if the makeup of it is that a bunch of people had to get together and spend their whole life locked up behind, you're not all preachers. You're not supposed to be. That's not your call. But you are, a lot of you are preachers, but you're not called to just spend all day long in prayer. You won't get anything done. You got lives to live. This thing has to be done by just people living common lives, but yet investing themselves in whatever amount of prayer they can pray, and then as they go, stay in an atmosphere of prayer. Stay in an atmosphere of communion. It's got where lately that it doesn't seem like there's a moment of the day, even when I'm doing other stuff. It's amazing. Your mind's pretty intelligent, especially when you're in the Spirit. You can be doing other stuff, enjoying it, but it's like you're with Him and you're communion with Him. But prayer, I want to relate this verse to prayer, or these verses. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Look at this. "For we are His workmanship, created." Created means when you were born again. "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, if you put prayer in the category of something that's, how many of you think that's a good work? It is a good thing. It's a faith thing. Now, I'm not talking about the works of the flesh or anything like that, or witnessing door to door to say you're good enough for Him. But prayer is a good work. It's a spiritual work. But again, it says here, we are His, that's you and I, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Pastor Dave used to say this, I wrote this down so I could remember it. Good works did not create you. You were created unto good works. In other words, your prayer closet did not spiritually create you. You don't attain who you are through the hours in prayer. The hours in prayer or whatever time you spend come out of that place. Homer did a great job a couple of Wednesday nights ago, whenever he was talking about, he had that altercation with the flesh, and he was about to go back into prayer and spend maybe a couple more hours. It was kind of like a makeup. You know, he felt like to start, and then he called himself, "No, wait a minute. I am already. If I'm going to spend any more time, it's going to be just in fellowship out of who I am. I don't go back into prayer for it to make me, as in I've already been created. Good works do not create you." Hallelujah. A lifestyle of prayer is a good work, but it did not create you. But we were created into a lifestyle of prayer. That's what we're created for. We're created out of this to just spend. Listen, I want the guys to come on. Come on up. Let's just, those of you that are watching, for the next few minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. Find a place of worship. Find a place of prayer. Like never before, I know we have existed as for 20 years, 23, 2 years as a church. People have fallen in love with this church. I'm excited. I think there's people that are planning on maybe coming here as a result of their love for what God's doing here. But we're going to have a lot of people that are going to join us in the days ahead. We really are. Because it's not because of us, but I know that it's Christ in us. We're preaching the right message. We're preaching righteousness. We're preaching holiness. But we're preaching it that it doesn't come by ourselves, but it comes through the righteousness of what we have been made in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. And I'm telling you, I cannot, I excuse my emotions. I'm sorry in a certain sense, because I'd ever want to put on no show. But I cannot live with my friends dying. You said, what can you do about it? Well, I can sure as heck do my part. I can go in as an avenger and say, at some point, there's enough is enough. And I really believe, now, as I said, we're not going to solve every war, every famine. People in churches are going to die. There's going to be people that oppose themselves. And I don't know why they oppose themselves. They just stubborn, I guess. But you know what? Here's the thing. Anybody that ever opposes herself and is sick, I never get mad at them. I don't get mad at them. Even if they say, Pastor Bronx wrong. Listen, if somebody's sick, they're going through enough. They're going through enough. They don't need anybody to get mad at them. They just need somebody to pray God, you know, help them, open their eyes. Hallelujah. Now, the altars are open for you to come and sit or stand and pray. Those of you, I hope you don't turn us off. We're going to worship. At 9 o'clock, I'll stand up and say, you're blessed. That's 23 minutes from now or something like that. But let's just worship God, because I want us to be saturated under this presence and under this call for prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
just want you.
I just want you.
feel the rain of your love, feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. I feel the rain of your love, feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. Feel the winds of your love, feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. I feel the rain of your love, I feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. healing stream from the throne of God, and it's flowing pure and deep and wide. God is calling out, same way on Him, it can make you whole. Never the same again. There's a balm that soothes all fear and pain, and it's melting every hurt away. Refreshing oil of life for you, every man. It can bring the sick to life again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. so every sinner may have life. If you just cry out, He'll save your soul. He'll wash you clean and make you whole.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, just in keeping with what I told you, I'd let you know it's 9. Those that are watching, you can continue to pray, or anybody that wants to pray can continue to stay. But I know that people have early days, early mornings. So just letting you know, keeping in line with what I told you, that I would let you know. But bless all of you tonight. You're so loved, so loved. Father, we magnify you. We bless you, Lord. God, we thank you for the revival that is at the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee, Florida. Lord, I thank you for these men and women that you have called to this place, and others that are watching who support this ministry in prayer. Lord, we thank you that revival is going to wind up wherever they're at. Some of them are coming here. But Father, wherever they're at, here or there, we thank you for this outpouring, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're blessed. We praise God. We bless you, Jesus. Amen.